Here tonight, as we read this familiar text, now I want to give you one verse. And I've traveled a lot in the last 40 years, and I've been before a lot of Christians, been a Baptist for 60 years. But the subject that I'm going to speak about tonight, to me, is the most important missing element in the Christian life. And I've thought a lot through the years, why is this? But here in Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse number 1, it says, "And seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed is the poor spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Our Father in heaven, tonight, Lord Jesus, I pray you will help me guide my thoughts, my words. And Lord, please help me to convey the very thought that you have put in my heart for all these years now as I've mulled it over and thought about and meditated upon. And I know tonight there are several people in here searching for this one part of the Christian life that seems to be lacking. And we'll be careful to thank you and you alone because you're worthy of all praise. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want to draw your attention, if I could please, to go back to verse number 9. Now the word blessed is synonymous with happy. Every person in this world wants to be happy. But the fact is, sometimes we go about trying to find happiness with the wrong method or the wrong ingredients. But I want you to see something here. The Bible says, blessed are the, what class? Peacemakers. For they shall be called the children of God. And so my question to you tonight, and I say this to young people, I've been saying it for years in the classroom, I've said this time and time again, I said the Bible said, blessed are the peacemakers. And so my question tonight to you is, are you a peacemaker or are you a peace taker? Do you take the peace of others by what you say or by your conduct or by how you live? You know, over 430 some times the word peace is used in the Word of God. In Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 7 it says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. I want to say this to you tonight. Let's be honest. Human peace is conditional, is it not? As long as the conditions are not interrupted or as long as the conditions are right, we have peace. But the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking about something that is so far beyond what you and I can conjure up in our mind. And he promised there in John chapter 16, if you'd go over there quickly. And by the way, your pastor sure preached a great message on Resurrection Day. I enjoyed that message this morning out of John chapter 19. But in John chapter number 16, I want you to notice the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to his disciples. He is just getting ready to go to Calvary. Now the Lord has promised three different things that he is going to give to his disciples and to those followers that identify themselves through salvation with him. But in John 16, verse number 33, it says, "These things have I spoken unto you that," what are the next two words? "In me," you need to underscore those two little words, "in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." So Jesus Christ said, if you are in me, meaning if you're a saved, born-again Christian, And of course, John 15 goes into great description about being in Christ and Christ is in us. And he identifies his Father as the husbandman and that he is the vine and we are the branches. And the Holy Spirit of God is that sap that runs through that, that helps us to be able to not only be in Christ, but Christ to be in us. And we are in him, he is in us. We are one and the same. Now, it's one thing to be in Christ, but it's another thing to have these promises that he has given here. There are three things he promised before he went to Calvary. And I want you to go back, if you would, to John chapter 14 now, verse number 27. The Lord Jesus Christ, there are three things in John chapter 14 and John chapter 15 that have to do with the very, very character and the parts of the Lord Jesus Christ that only comes in a supernatural way. And so in John chapter 14, verse number 27, it says, "Peace I leave with you." Notice, "My peace I give unto you. Not as the world give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So the first thing he says, "I want to give you my peace." Think of that now. He is talking about his peace. Now when you think about peace, now number one, you have to understand that the peace of God, there are three parts to the peace of God. And for years, I never really analyzed this, but the fact is, if you were to draw a circle and divide it into three parts, the first part of the peace that God has promised is found that in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1, when we get saved, we now have peace with God. You have to understand that. You understand that? You know what that means? The God that created the heavens and all those stars in the galaxies, through the blood of Jesus, we have been brought back into a right relationship with God Almighty. That's big. You talk about big. So number one, we have peace with God. Number two, we have peace within our heart. You see, it's only when you get saved and the Spirit of God comes and rules and reigns in your heart, for the very first time, you have peace within. That's wonderful. Then there's something else. I don't have time to go there, but in the book of Luke, in chapter number 7, I believe, 5 or 7, Simon the Pharisee invited the Lord Jesus for a meal, and you can read it. But there was a woman that came there with an alabaster box. And of course, she was a woman that didn't live a very good life. In fact, there are some words used there to identify her as a harlot. But the fact is, she became a believer. And you see, it was that Pharisee did not see her as she was. He remembered her as she used to be. But the Lord Jesus Christ said something to her, the very last verse in that chapter. He said, "Go in peace." And that little word "in," it meant go into a life of peace. Here's what it meant. He said, "Now you have peace with God. You have peace with me. I've cleansed you. But now you have the right to go back into the world. And no matter what human opinion of you used to be, you don't have to worry about that anymore because you are forgiven." That's the three parts to peace. You have peace with God, you have peace within, and you can go into the world and hold your head high because you've been forgiven. Doesn't matter what anyone says. Because when it's all said and done, when we get to the judgment seat of Christ, and the Lord Jesus said, "Father, they're ours. He is ours. She is ours." And the greatest thing is, none of those sins will be brought up. It was years ago, there was a lady giving a devotion to her class, and she was trying to ascribe how great God is. She said, "Our God is a great God. There's nothing our God can't do. He can do everything." Little Johnny raised his hand in the back. He said, "Teacher." She said, "Yes, Johnny." He said, "There's something God can't do." "Oh," she said, "Johnny, you're just a little boy. God can do anything. He's a great God." "No," he said, "teachers, there's something God can't do." She got a little upset with Johnny. She said, "Johnny, stand up. Stand up, Johnny. I want you to tell us what God can't do." He stood up and said, "Teacher, God can't see my sin through the blood of Jesus Christ." That's big. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, where sinners plunge beneath the flood, lose all their guilty stains. Man, it's good to be under the blood. Amen?
Amen.
How wonderful salvation really is. When you think about our great God and Savior, one of these days, we all get to heaven, and Jesus Christ takes the seals and loose them, and He opens the book, and He begins to make the roll call, and He calls your name. Nobody's ever said your name like Jesus. And then we will all say, "Jesus, how much did you love us?" And He will hold up His hands and say, "I loved you this much." You know, it's amazing to me that the only man-made thing that'll be in heaven will be the nail prints made by mankind. And our great God will bear those wounds throughout eternity to remind us how much He loved us. And so tonight, Jesus Christ said, He said, "I want to give you my peace." But if you go over to John chapter 15 for a moment, verse number 9, it says this. Jesus said, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love." So He said, my peace, my love. In verse number 11 of John 15, it said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Now, this is something that is so far beyond human reasoning. And we know it there in the book of Isaiah chapter 55, God says that His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. He said, "As far as the heaven is from the earth, so are my ways from your ways." And may I say to you today that the love of God and the peace of God and the joy of God is something that we cannot manufacture. Now, let me break it down. Let me give you an example. We just passed the holidays. My mother always had family recipes that her mother gave and their mother, and boy, they went back in the family. You know how it is. And we break out the family recipes at special occasions. And so one of the things that I found out, Pastor, is this. When a mother-in-law has a family recipe, she usually won't give it to the daughter-in-law. She holds tight. Amen? She won't even will it in at the end of life. She holds it right. In fact, she may tuck it into the casket with her and take it with her. I don't know. Or she'll do this. She'll give her the recipe and change one of the ingredients. So the son will say, "It's good, but it doesn't taste like Mom's." You know that's true. That's why you're laughing. Now, wait a minute. There's something very important here. Very important. If you don't get anything else, get this. Now, let me ask you, the family recipe, is it the person making the actual recipe, or is it the actual individual ingredients that gives the results? It's both. Because you'll not have the recipe made unless somebody makes it. Now, let me say this to you. You and I, as God's people, for years, we've had our own recipe for peace. We've had some of God's, but we've changed the ingredients. Or we've not known the recipe, the full recipe that God has. Now, wait a minute. Well, wait, just this. I'm getting excited. Don't get the old man excited, because I'll be ready to go. God the Father has a recipe, a family recipe, that He will not exclude from any member of the family for peace, love, and joy. But some of us, because we have not studied this great recipe book right here that gives all the recipes for everything on earth. We've not studied the book enough to know exactly what the ingredients are and how we can develop these in our life. Now, wait a minute. The peace of God is going to only come to us. It's not just going to, you can't just say to God, I want the peace of God, oh, give it to me. No, it doesn't happen like that. It's a process. And you see, the more you begin to become like Christ, and the more you begin to apply the Word of God. You know, there are great verses that I love to read. For instance, Psalm 119, verse 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Think of that. Then there in Isaiah chapter number 26, verse number 3, it says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee, because he trusteth in thee. That's a great verse. But then in Isaiah 54:13, F.B. Meyer was studying this portion of Scripture. And I want to read something that he wrote about that particular Scripture. But it says this, Isaiah 54:13, in all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. F.B. Meyer wrote this. He said, it is certain that the amount of peace we enjoy will be largely in proportion to the amount of teaching we receive. What did he mean? Let me read again. He said, it is certain that the amount of peace we enjoy will be largely in proportion to the amount of teaching we received. Abbreviated two words. He said, applied truth. He said, tell me how much of the Word of God you apply to your daily life. I'll tell you how much peace you have. And so the problem is, you and I want something on our condition. It doesn't work that way. You see, God has... It's taken me so long to understand this. Before the foundations of the world, God already had set in place eternal principles. That when you follow and you live within the boundary guidelines of these principles, automatically God begins to bless and begins to open up all of these things for you. If you realize tonight how filthy rich you really are. We are I was in the elevator. I do hospitals on Wednesday. I was in the elevator and I was speaking somewhere, and so I was dressed like this. And a lady got on. She said, sir, you look like a Texas oil millionaire. I said, ma'am. I said, I'm a lot wealthier than that. I'm a multi-billionaire. She said, you are. I said, I am. She said, what do you do? I said, my father's so filthy rich. It's disgusting. We have no idea the trillions upon trillions of dollars. She said, I've never met anyone like that before. I said, well, you have now, ma'am. She said, what is his name? I said, God. Oh, she said, you're a preacher, aren't you? I said, yes, I am. You ought to see it the way it is, man. We're wealthy in Christ. I got on the elevator, same elevator, another week. Lady got on. She said, sir, are you an undertaker? I said, no, ma'am, I work for the upper taker. Oh, she said, you're a preacher. I said, yes, I am. It's all in how you see things. When you see how great our God is. Oh, when you go out at night and look up at all that canopy of stars. Listen, the Bible speaks about the empty place in the north. You know why it's empty? It's just so far out there we can't see. A lot of great men of the past believe that is the... You know, when you go by all of these huge, beautiful estates, they always have such a large gated entryway because of the prestige. But they think that that is the gateway to heaven. Now, wait a minute. You know, salvation is great. It's wonderful. What if God said, now, you can have salvation free... You can have everything you want. The only thing you have to do is supply your own transportation to get to heaven. That's not our God. See, when God does something, He does it right. He's already taken care of all of it for us. You know, as Charles Spurgeon used to say this, he said, you know, he said, when a man begins to think of his own ways, it will drive him to despair. But he said, great thoughts about Jesus Christ will pilot in haven, bring you into the haven of God's peace. He may say to you, it's about time that you and I got our minds off of us. We are finite, but God's infinite. How shall we attain the peace of God? I have just a couple of minutes. I want you to go over to Isaiah chapter number 40 for a moment. I want to give thee this thought here. Now, Isaiah chapter 40, and the verses I'm going to read have to do with John the Baptist, the ministry of John the Baptist, and he's the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's an application here, without taking away from the interpretation that is given, that you and I as God's people can apply to our life. So in Isaiah 40 and verse number 3, it said, in the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in a desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, in the crooked shall be made straight, in the rough place plain. Now simply this, years ago in Bible times, if a community wanted the king to come to their community, he would send messengers out to that community and tell them this, their stipulations. If you want me to come to your community, you're going to have to build me an elevated highway at your own expense. But he said something about that highway, there are four things. Number one, he said, all the high areas have to be brought down. All the low areas have to be brought up. All the crooked areas have to be straightened out. And all the bumpy places have to be smoothed over. That's a good four-point outline right there. What was God saying? You know that our God, you study the Word of God, our God travels where it's a peaceful place. The Holy Spirit of God, when He looks down upon Beacon Baptist Church on Sunday morning, and Lord Jesus and God the Father and God the Spirit, He looks down upon this servant, and He sees the hearts of mankind. Oh, when God's people are right with God, when they have unified their hearts together, when they have gathered here to be in the presence of the great God, there's nothing that is more delightful to God the Father than for Him to say to God the Son, look at how they're dwelling together. Look at the peace. And He says to the Spirit of God, go and usher in my presence. And the Spirit of God comes in and through the audience here, and you sit here and you listen to the preacher, you listen to the songs, and you say, boy, I tell you, God's presence is here today. It's wonderful. I remember 1973, Lester Roloff was at our home church, Rochester Hills Baptist Church, Cotton Elms. Vernon Elms, our pastor. Boy, I tell you, that church exploded, Pastor. We were running about 175, and within 4 years, we were up to over 1,850. Another 2 years, we went up to 2,500. I mean, the church just was on fire, the presence of God. We couldn't get people to leave. They'd come there, the Spirit of God was so magnified there. Now, I know that all you say, now you're getting sort of spooky. No, I'm not at all. But I'm saying God's people are so united together, praying together, staying together. And boy, I'll tell you, you pray together, you will stay together. God has a way of melting hearts together. Brother Roloff, I'll tell you, I'd be sitting there, and Brother Roloff would come up here. He'd have either the Honeybee Quartet, or he'd have the Lighthouse group, and they'd sing, and then Brother Roloff would stand up. He'd come up to the podium there, and he'd say, it's good to see all of you tonight, talking like that Texan would. Boy, I tell you, he'd open the Word of God, and he'd start reading the text, and man, I'm telling you, he'd start preaching. I'm telling you, the presence of God would just fall. It was wonderful. But you know what that I learned from that? You see, the peace of God is a process. The power of God is a process. It was A.J. Gordon, had a British friend that came to the United States years ago to preach. He was going up to preach for Mr. Moody, and he called A.J. there in Boston. He said, A.J., he said, I'm coming to preach for Mr. Moody. But he said, there's something I always wanted to do. He said, I've always wanted to go to the Niagara Falls. He said, would you be gracious enough to make arrangements for me to go to the Niagara Falls when I get there to the States? He said, I'd like to see it before I go back to Europe. He said, I'll do something better. He said, you come preach for me on that Sunday, and I'll take you myself. We'll spend 3 days together. We'll go up to upstate New York and go see the Niagara Falls. So he said, they did. And so as you know, when you get close to the Niagara Falls, man, that waters are rushing and loud. Man, you can hardly, you got to yell so you can hear one another. And so old A.J. Gordon turned to his British friend. He said, my dear brother, I want you to see the greatest unused power in all the world. And immediately his British friend turned and said, no, 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 my brother. The greatest unused power in all the world is the Holy Spirit. And you and I as God's people know that's true. And so what we have to do is come back to God's recipe. Come back to the book and find out what it is that will bring peace. Now those four principles quickly, and I have to close. Number one, he said all the high places have to be brought down. The high places usually in the Old Testament have to do with pride. And so he said, if you want the peace of God to come into your life, you're going to have to get rid of your pride. It's going to have to come down. And he said, the low places in your Christian life, you've got to bring them up. And he said, the crooked things in Christian life, you've got to straighten them out. And the bumpy relationships with other Christians and other people, you've got to smooth them out. Well, you'd say, Brother Creighton, if I did that, I'd have to be a Christian. Yeah, that's right. But you know what? Wouldn't you want to have the peace of God? The real peace of God? Everywhere we look in the world today, everywhere. Today, the news, yesterday, the news, and all the tragedies and all the bombings and all the people dying and the heartache and all the trouble that is around the world. God is able, listen, God is able to help us. He said, blessed are the peacemakers. A peacemaker is one that goes and tries to bring relationships back in alignment with one another. A peacemaker is somebody that will do all he can to put out a fire or to put out something, some type of an indifference between people. But you and I, there are four things we have to do quickly. Number one, we have to ask the Lord to prepare our hearts to become a peacemaker. I like what, go over to the book of Philippians chapter 4 just for a moment, and I'm closing. Years ago, Helen Keller, as you know, had a lot of physical problems, and one of the things, she was blind. But somebody was reading to her from Philippians chapter 4. And they came down to verse number 7, and they read, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." And she asked the person to stop, and she thought about what that text said. And so she thought for a moment. Then she said, would you read that again? And so they read, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And she thought again, and then she suddenly said this, "I do not want the peace that passeth understanding. I want the understanding which brings the peace." And how many times have you and I said that ourselves, that that's what we want? When we read verses like, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them," Those are wonderful verses. But may I say to you as a Christian, what good are they if we don't know how to obtain the text and what is in the text, the power that's there? We have to go back. Possibly we have not given thought to what the recipe really calls for. Remember, you can't change God's ingredients. God put a standard, and He wants us to complete and obey and follow and apply those ingredients so that we will have the results that it is promised to give. And so tonight, as God's people, the peace of God, are you a peacemaker or a peace taker?
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.